greet you this morning. For the name of Jesus. Blessing to be in the house of God again this morning. Beautiful day that God has blessed us with. The last Sunday of this year, as we anticipate 2014 coming in. I don't really have a title as such, but you can, I'll just call it a New Year's message. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 19, verse 21, for a text verse. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." As you look at your view of the new year, as 2013 is coming to a close, you know, if there's something that you want to do this year yet, you only have a few days to do it. Now, if you want to do something next year, you've got a lot of time to do that. You can actually, or if you want to do something before next year, I should say. Because if you do it, you know, today or the next couple of days, you've done it before next year. And once you're in 2014 and you do it all the year of 2014, you've done it before the next year. So, you know, if you want to do something before the next year, you can do it any day of your life, as long as God grants you to live. But here it is saying is there are many devices, or we could say there are many plans in a man's heart. Many plans. So as you think of next year, are there a lot of plans that you have, a lot of things you would like to do, goals you would like to reach? But it goes on and it says that, "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." As Norman said, you know, we don't know what's in the next year. We can look back in 2013 and we have a lot of memories that were made in 2013. Things that we remember, we know, you know, what it was like, things that happened. But in 2014, you know, we can only try to visualize and try to think and plan ahead, but we don't know what's going to be in 2014. But we do know that the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. That's what the Bible says. You know, God's counsel, God's wisdom, that is going to stand. And God has a purpose and God has a plan for the coming year. And we know that's going to stand. You know, we probably, as we think that of people's hearts, there are probably a lot of plans in a lot of different people's hearts. Many plans that are made. But, you know, how many of those are going to succeed? How many of those are going to come about? You know, things can change so suddenly. Think about Brother Milan, you know, being in the hospital. I'm assuming he's still there with infection in his heart and, you know, facing possibly open heart surgery. Well, he probably didn't plan on that. You know, we don't know. You know, there's a possibility that before 2014 that one of us may not be here anymore. You know, plans can change suddenly like that. The counsel of the Lord will stand. So we look at, you know, the thought of making New Year's resolutions. Surveys or results show that, you know, about 88% of New Year's resolutions fail. That was in a study that was done in 2007. And that study also showed that men achieve their goal about 22% more often when they use goal-setting methods. You know, they would set little goals and they would achieve that and then they would move on to the next goal and the next and so forth, such as to lose a pound a week instead of, I'm just going to lose weight. And they set goals. And it also showed that women succeed at 10% more when they shared their resolutions with their friends and they got support. I think that's more of a woman thing, you know, to talk about your plans and the things you want to do. But, you know, in the middle of all that, as men as we set goals or women as you share your plans, remember that the counsel of the Lord is what's going to stand. That's what's established. Another writer writing about New Year's resolutions said that the type of resolutions being made have changed in the last 20 years or so. And I guess in interviewing girls or looking at the girls from New York City, about 20 years ago, the resolutions of a typical New York City girl would have been, to be a better person, to honor God with her life. Versus now, the New Year's resolutions are more about herself, about, having a body that looks more appealing, being somebody instead of being a better person. It's like the focus has changed from inward to outward. And that would go hand in hand with what the Bible says is how it's going to be in the last days. Our focus, the focus of man, of carnal man, is just continually waxing worse and worse, as the Bible says. Last Sunday, Brother Norman mentioned about the note that was written to Santa, the person that requested a slim body and a fat bank account, and don't get them mixed up like you did last year. And as we think of that, a slim body and a fat bank account, is probably something that most of us would desire. But, as we think of the coming year and wanting a slim body or wanting a fat bank account, it is not something that we can expect to just be handed to us on a silver platter and, God says, here it is. Here's your slim body, here's your fat bank account. But, most things in life that are worth having and worth achieving take discipline, take effort, take commitment. If you want your body to be slim, it's time to get on that diet, to use some discipline in what you eat. Somebody said there's a lot of thought given to what we eat between Christmas and New Year, whereas he felt like we should consider more importantly what we eat between New Year's and Christmas. And, if you want the slim body, that's where the change is going to happen. It's not going to happen between Christmas and New Year's, but it could happen between New Year's and Christmas as you look at, in the coming years, God grants you life. And as we think of God in all this, we know that God honors our will. God gave us choice. God honors your will. So when we choose to disobey God and we choose to take our own way and do our own thing, God is going to step aside and let us go. Because God created us free moral agents. God created us and gave us choice. He turned us loose, if you will. But of course, choices that we make will have consequences. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So as we look at choices and things that we would like to do, the plans that we have in our heart for this coming year, let's remember that those plans and those choices that we make will have consequences or rewards, depending on the choices that we make. If we will to abide within the laws that God has established, the Word of God, if we get into the Word of God and we will to abide in the law that God shows in this Word, we choose to abide in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master, Lord and Master of our lives, and God comes alongside us and He gives us grace and He gives us strength and courage to do His perfect will, to be in His perfect will. He gives us victory over sin when we will to abide within His laws and His will. He will give us grace to grow in Him, and He will also allow circumstances to come that will help us to grow in Him and to become what He wants us to be. Some of those circumstances may not be the nicest, but God always does what is best for us, allows what is best for us. So if you want that slim body, get on the diet, get on the exercise program. Eat the right kind of food, the right amount of food, and take that exercise seriously. And by next year, this time, if the Lord wills that you live, you could have the slim body that you want, but it's going to take commitment and discipline. If you want a fat bank account, there's a lot of ways that you can go about doing that as well. Unnecessary spending, How about tithing? How about giving more? That could actually increase your bank account. But not if you do it because you want a fat bank account, but if you do it because you love the Lord and you want to honor God, then yes, that could increase your bank account. But you may have to show the Lord that you are a good steward, that you are worthy of His trust in those little things before God will entrust you with the bigger things in life. But as we think about that bank account, you know, your spiritual bank account is so much more important than the bank account you have in town at the bank. The spiritual bank account is so much more important. Last summer at our house, there were numerous times that the term after the wedding was used. When we were talking about, you know, different things that we would, that needed to be done or we'd like to do, we would say after the wedding. That was a pretty big event for us as a family. It looked pretty intimidating. But maybe sometimes that term was used as a means of procrastination, especially maybe on my part. When it was something I didn't really want to do, you know, they said, well, after the wedding. My wife would have something that, you know, she wanted me to do, and I would say, well, after the wedding, I'll do that. You know, actually, that is called procrastination. And, you know, in life, as we go through life from day to day, we can often get caught up with the term next year. Somebody asks you to do something, or there's something in your life, maybe a victory that you need, an area in your life that you need to work on, or losing weight, or, you know, whatever, getting on an exercise program. We tend to use the term next year. You know, I'll do that next year. And we procrastinate. Well, now in a couple days, next year will be here, and you can start on that, whatever it is that you know that you should be doing. You know, the enemy, Satan, tries to make you believe that you will do it next year. And then when 2014 comes, he'll make you believe that you'll do it next year. And then the next year is just procrastination. You know, just keep putting it off. That's what he's hoping for. Especially when it comes to do with things like salvation. Because he's looking for your destruction. He doesn't care a thing about you. He wants to destroy you. And he may make you try to believe that once you reach that next phase of your life, that you'll be content. You know, when I get big, then I'm going to have it. I'm going to reach that plateau. You know, when I get married, you know, when I have my own money, when I have children, and then it could be when the children leave home again, have less responsibility, have grandchildren. We think, I'll reach the plateau. I'll be content. You know, once I have this, or once I have that, that's how he works. You know, it's not about now in that case. His tactic is to bring discontent, to destroy the usefulness of now, of the moment. And you know, really, that's the only time that we have to do anything in life. If you live for 80 years, the only time you can do anything in those 80 years is now. You can't do anything yesterday, and you can't do anything tomorrow, because when you get there to where you can do it, it'll be now. So now is really what counts. Now is what's really important. You know, there's two sides to that of now, of living in the moment. You know, one is to do what I want to do now with no regard to the consequences, just to do my selfish thing. The other side is to be content with where I am in life, with God's lot for me in my life, to be content with that and to live life to its fullest, to the fullest purpose that God has for me right now. You know, not thinking that once I get this or that, that I'm going to be content and I can start enjoying life. But to enjoy life right where you are now in God's purpose and God's plan. You know, it's the discontentment thing of is wishing to be elsewhere, wishing to be doing something else, wishing things were different. That is discontentment. The other thing that Satan tries to get us to put off till next year is the thing of spiritual victory, of growth, of discipline. You know, he hates to see you victorious and growing in Christ and living a disciplined Christian life. His job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when he sees you living a life that is flourishing, a Christian life that is flourishing and growing, he's not getting his job done, and it makes him furious. Another tactic of Satan is he wants us to look back in yesterday, and I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul here is saying that he doesn't consider himself to have attained, to have reached the goal. But he does this. He forgets those things which are behind, and he reaches forth unto the things which are before. So this morning, as you consider your past life, if you haven't already, you know, now is the time to bring those mistakes, those sins, those failures of your past life to the feet of Jesus in repentance and ask his forgiveness for those things and to accept that forgiveness and to press forward for the prize that God has for you, the future, the purpose in life that God has for you. Because Satan wants to bind you and tie you up with those failures. And, you know, he doesn't want you to grow in victory and spiritual growth and victory and discipline in your life. He wants you bound up and tied up to where he can have the victory. You know, and as you come to the feet of Jesus and as you accept his forgiveness, the Lord will give you a clean slate, a new slate for the coming year. You know, and maybe we make too much of a fuss or a thing out of the thing of going from one year to the next. Because really, as I said, we only have now. You know, and as Christians, we should be living on a daily basis, a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter in what year it is or what part of the year it is. You know, every day we get up, it should be another day walking with God, another day to seek the purpose that God has for me today. And it doesn't matter what year it is or where I am in life, but it is God's life. You know, it is such a blessing that we can bring our failures and our mistakes and our sins at the feet of Jesus, and we can be given a new slate. You know, I'm so undeserving of that. I have spent so much time looking back and, you know, the shoulda, coulda, woulda type of mentality. You know, if I had done this, if only I had done that, you know, that is a great hindrance to spiritual progress and spiritual growth. To forgive myself and to forgive others who have hurt me and wronged me. I read somewhere about the snail that was climbing up the cherry tree, and the beetle stuck his head out of the crack and he asked him, "What are you doing climbing this cherry tree? There's no cherries up there." The snail replied, "There will be by the time I get there." So, you know, for us, as we go through life, we don't see the end that's in view. We can't see, as it says in Corinthians, we see through a glass darkly. But then we're going to see face to face. You know, there's no chariots on the tree today. But we know that as we abide in Jesus Christ, as he is our Savior, we know there's going to be chariots when we get there. The fruit will be ripe and it'll be delicious. It'll be better than we deserve. You know, have faith even though you don't see it yet. But continue on. You know, sometimes life might seem a little like the pace of a snail. But really, it's just a short time. The Bible says our life is but as a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. As a flower, it fades away. It's gone. Zig Ziglar said, "What you get by achieving your goals is not nearly as important as what you become by achieving them." So, you know, if your goal would be to have $1 million and you would achieve that goal little by little, dollar by dollar, and by the time you get there and you have that $1 million, it would turn you into a greedy, miserly person. It would ruin your life. But in the same token, if you would begin giving, as I mentioned earlier, and you would give more and more as God blesses you more, and God would bless you to become a millionaire, and you would become a loving, giving person in the process, that is so much more important than $1 million. Now, as you think of the new year, New Year's resolutions, you know, you can make so many resolutions. You can have ever so many goals set. But more important than anything today is that you have it settled in your mind that Jesus Christ loves you, that he really cares about you, and to really get a view in your mind of how much he suffered to save you and what he has saved you from. The horrible, terrible death, eternal death in eternity that he saved you from by giving his life on Calvary's cross. In the fall of the year, I think it is, there's usually a weekend that they call Eye Fool of Paris. And I'm not sure what all that entails. Something around the court square, I think, with arts and so forth. And as I was thinking of that, and thinking of getting a real vision of Jesus Christ, of who he is, how much he loves us, and what he suffered for my salvation, for my sin, and what he saved me from, I would like to call that an eye fool of Calvary. An eye fool of Calvary. Or maybe we should say a heart fool of Calvary. You know, as we think of the new year, of moving into the new year, of making resolutions and making commitments, I think we can best do that if we have a heart full of Calvary. Our eyes are full of Calvary, of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, once you understand that, once you really get a proper view of that, as God would have us see Jesus Christ and him crucified, it's going to make a difference in how we view resolutions and goals and the things we want to achieve in the next year. And it's going to make that difference on a daily basis. And it's going to bring us to the point where we're going to be able to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, with everything we have, and our neighbor as ourselves. You know, and if we love him with all of our heart, then maybe we'll no longer need all of those resolutions, those goals and achievements, because our heart will be so full of Jesus Christ that our minds are going to be centered on him, on his word, and on his will and his desire for our lives in the coming year. As it says in Proverbs 3:19, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." You know, honoring him will become a way of life with you on a daily basis. And if we could get up every morning and we could get an eye full of Calvary, and we could remember what Jesus did for me and what he saved me from and how much he loves me. You know, it's so easy to be caught up with this self-centeredness and this thing of worthlessness, and it greatly hinders a life that honors God, that brings glory to God. To remember that everything is God's, that everything belongs to Him. Everything He has given me is His. And that I need to use, and I want to use, everything to God's glory. You know, my mind, my body, my phone, my car, my house, money, you name it. I mean, you have a list of things that you have. You know, I know I have been caught up too much with the thing of, you know, I like taking care of things. And I think there's good stewardship involved, but to be too anxious about things. You know, what if this would happen or what if that would happen? Instead of having the trust that, you know, this is God's car, this is God's house, and I'm going to do my best to take care of it, but no matter what happens, if something bad happens, it is God's loss. It's not my loss, it's God's loss. And He is all sufficient. He is greater than any problem I can face. I just want to be a good steward of God's possessions and use them properly. And every day, ask Him, you know, God, what do you want me to do with the stuff you've given me? How do you want me to use this for your glory today? I'd like to close with a short New Year's poem for Christians. Instead of making a New Year's resolution, consider committing to a biblical solution. Your promises are easily broken, empty words though earnestly spoken, but God's word transforms the soul by His Holy Spirit making you whole. As you spend time alone with Him, He will change you from within. Make that a resolution, a commitment to get an eyeful of Calvary. Let's kneel for prayer.